You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Every now and then you meet someone who doesn't just design logos, but designs legacies. And tonight's guest is one such force. Ulesley Bepe isn't just building a business, he's building brands that breathe. Through his company, Amahle Creatives, he's turning ideas into identities, pixels into presence, and visions into visuals that stand the test of time. But the truth is, behind every great brand is an even greater backstory. And tonight, we get to pull back the curtain on the journey, the passion, the heartbreak, the breakthroughs, and the philosophies that fuel this branding mastermind. This is more than entrepreneurship you're going to hear about today. We're going to be talking art, strategy, soul, and sweat. Lesley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Mpumi.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine.
Okay.
How are you?
No, I'm doing okay. So I really don't want to quickly jump into what you do, right? I want to know why you do what you do. And I know you have interacted with me and my brand over various occasions, and you know that the why is very important to me, right? And so
yeah.
I want to know what was happening in your world the moment you knew that this is the work you are meant to do.
Okay, so I think what was happening was I've always had the talent, the design talent, right?
Okay.
But then I also realized that I have a knack for coming up with solutions or for coming up with strategies. If I can tell you the amount of business plan and the business ideas I started a long time, my friends will tell you, like, I had a business idea every week, right? So from that mind, I realized that I'm good at coming up with the ideas, but I don't necessarily want to do the business myself. Like, I'll just delegate. Hey, I think if you can do this business, you could run with it. So
yeah.
I wanted to be the background, just come up with the idea, come up with the strategy. So I thought about how I could fuse the two, like bring the strategy and the design and it gave birth to what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because somebody else could have thought that they were a failure, right? If they thought of all these ideas and never executed on any of them, they'd feel like, I'm a person who never executes on anything. But you quickly realize that, no, actually, I'm an activator. I'm able to present something to somebody and with that have them soar. That's pretty amazing. Now, the name Amahle Creatives is quite poetic. It's quite poetic. I want to know from you, what does it mean to you? And what did you want it to mean to the world?
Yeah, so like as you said, it's quite poetic. And I think we were aiming for that kind of feel. It didn't start as Amahle Creatives before.
Yeah.
It had started as, because it was an entrepreneurship and lifestyle kind of magazine. So it was called Amahle Magazine.
Oh,
and then we started it with a few people who've branched out to different parts of the world now. Mm. But when we started it, we wanted an African feel that will showcase the beautiful African brands.
Mm.
And then we said the name Amahle. Then when I was transitioning from that magazine, because that project ran for about like 2-3 years, and then I had to move to a different path, I just decided, you know what, people are already familiar with the name. Mm-hmm. Let's just change magazine to creatives and run with it. Yeah, that was it.
Interesting. So if your business were a person, how would you describe its personality? And how does that reflect your own evolution? Because when I hear you talk about it was first a magazine and then it evolved into something else, I really want to know, how does it reflect your personality or your evolution, rather? And if you were to describe the business as a person, how would you describe its personality to us?
That's a very quite interesting question that I've never thought about. I don't know. I think I'll say, because at the core of our business, the spirit of the business is resilience, I think, because we're trying to build brands that can last throughout the test of time. So I think the personality will be resilient, because that's the spirit that we are putting into the strategies that we come up with. So I think so.
Okay, now as Amahle Creatives, and this one always intrigues me, right? Because I remember the very first time I got my first clients in my company. Yo, I danced, and I can't say the type of dance I made here on air because bazongqosha. But I was so excited because of that first sale. Yeah. And I want to hear from you, what was the very first yes you ever got? You know, the moment someone trusted your idea enough to pay for it, how did that shape your confidence?
Yeah, so I think the first client I got was a guy in Cape Town, but it was a link up from a relative, and they were like, we have this yogurt brand that we're trying to sell.
Yeah.
Can you come up with a label for us so that we can brand? And so at that moment, I wasn't really sure that this thing was viable. I mean, I was still just small, creating small designs for usually just school, church, and stuff. And then I did that design. And if I can tell you, Mpumi, I did that design on a Mobicel. I was using a Mobicel by that time.
Yeah.
I did it on a funny, I don't even remember the name of that app, but it was just putting things together. And when I presented to it, the guy was blown away. And I didn't even quote or anything because I wasn't sure that this thing is possible. But the guy was like, send me an invoice, and he paid double the amount. I was like, But I think that was the first yes I can remember.
Yeah. And what did that do for your confidence?
Yeah, it really boosted my confidence. Not just on me, I think even the family and the people around me, because they hadn't quite grasped exactly what I'm doing. Someone was like, what are you doing on that phone? And I also myself wouldn't exactly know how to explain it. But after that, I think it started becoming clearer and clearer what this was all about.
And in case we have somebody listening who's like, I also don't know what he does, it's not clear to me, can you tell us exactly what Amahle Creatives does?
Right, so Amahle Creatives is a brand development agency. We do brand design, brand marketing, and brand strategy. Those are the core services that we have. So when we're building a brand, we build it from the ground up. That is your brand identity, your logos, company profile, corporate, where that kind of identity. And then we move on to brand strategy. This includes your social media, your advertising, your marketing, your so those are the core services that we have so far at the business.
Do you do it full time, or are you also employed?
I do it full time currently.
Okay, with the staff complement as well?
So right now it's just that there's two of us, and then we usually get freelancers some other times when we need extra help on board. But so it depends on the busy season or not.
That is smart, because the services you mentioned are quite vast, right? It's a strategy and social media marketing. It's a lot. And so it makes sense that you are not doing this alone, because doing it by yourself will also stunt your own growth.
Definitely, yes.
Now, the world of branding is quite crowded, but you found a way to rise. And I'd love to hear from you, what's your philosophy on standing out without shouting?
Okay, so standing out is quite difficult, as you put it, but it becomes easier, especially for our business, because a lot of other companies do what we do, but they don't get to go behind the curtain and come up with a solid strategy. So what we do, as you put it, is quite intentional, actually. That's our tagline. And we do that because we realize that most people do design or logos just for the sake of doing them. But we go behind to really consider things like brand psychology, behavioral psychology, as to why do you want your logo to, why do we use green in your logo? Why do we use blue? Why do we use this? Why do we come up with such fonts or with such typography? So what do you want to communicate to your clients? So if I can tell you of times where we've done rebrands for clients who've done that design somewhere else and they've come back to say, it's not quite catching up, quite what I want.
Yeah.
It's because someone decided to do a pink logo because pink is their favorite color. That doesn't work.
That's very interesting. And I'm curious to know, what is normally the ROI of branding? Because I've run a business before, right? And when you start getting into business and you get coaches, they tell you, forget about logos and fonts and stuff. You need to just be clear on your service and your messaging and serve people and do the work. So how do you present the value of branding to people who might be thinking that what matters is delivery of the service? So what is the ROI that you sell to people when you sell them your services?
Yeah, so it's quite true. Actually, the pinnacle of brand is for you to not use a logo at all.
That's
when you've reached the climax. Like if you check the popular brands right now, Nike can put up a billboard without putting the Nike logo, and you could instantly tell that, okay, I think that's a Nike product or that's a Nike billboard.
Lovely.
So that's the pinnacle of branding. If you check the latest trends right now in the brand design, was most brands are eliminating their brands or they're scaling them down to the minimalist possible brand, because that shows that you've created a strong brand. So what we also follow that philosophy where we are saying, let's do a proper, robust brand identity. But then in future, it has to be so strong that you don't really need to slap your logo everywhere for people to know that it's you. So it means that the identity that we are creating has that consideration in mind, where in 10 years' time, would your brand be so strong and so bold enough that you can advertise something without screaming that it's you advertising? So we sell that when we are creating, and even when we are pitching the identity to clients, we pitch different variations of the brand, considering how it would look in future.
You know what's interesting with what I'm hearing you say, Ne? So I've been to, of course, like everybody else, to grocery stores. And let me tell you, if you're not where you have to pay and there's sweets and chocolates and stuff there, and I don't know if it's okay to mention brands, but I'll just do it anyway. So we all know a bar one chocolate bar, right? We know it's black.
Yeah.
We know the writing is red. We know the rest of the inscription is white. We know the brand. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The competitors also know the brand, and I guess they study it, and there's intention. And after hearing you speak earlier, there's intention with why this font, why is it red? What is the black? Because it needs to evoke certain feelings and connect to me in certain way, right? So then you walk towards paying, and you see a bar there on the side. If you look quickly, you'll think it's bar one. When you get home or you get to your car, you'll be like, Mars, what do you mean? Because they've copied the brand identity so much. So I'm curious, what then matters? Is it longevity? Is it how long people have been interacting with the brand? Or is it the little nuances and the detail one would need to pay attention to in order for them to immediately say, oh, that is this brand. Oh, that is that brand. How do you get the distinguishment so good that even if counterfeits pop up, somebody who is a loyal customer or client will say, oh no, those aren't my people.
So from what you mentioned, I think the answer is both. So you need a bit of longevity with the brand. We've known Power One since we've known Power One, years, right? But then also the fine margins on the second one, the fine margins, it's usually the small things that can distinctively set you apart.
Yeah.
And the fine margins are very important. Mm. So one font mistake or one different font or a slightly a color, those are things that seem small to you. And it's things that seem small to our clients as well, to say, no, it doesn't matter if I can, I like blue and I think the logo should be blue, but then you are in the, let's say you are running a funeral company and then you want something done in pink because that's your favorite and you think it doesn't. But it does matter. Those are the small, fine margins that can separate you from the competition. So to answer the question, I think it's both longevity, consider the brand, but as well consider those small, fine margins.
Yeah. Sure. This is such an interesting conversation. I want us to now shift and talk about tough love, right? Not in the way you might be thinking. Okay. What is the hardest part of building a business in this space that no one prepares you for?
Yeah, so I think us as our skin color and our people.
Oh no! Yeah.
Yeah, we viewed entrepreneurship as this glamorous lifestyle, and I don't know what influenced that. I mean, maybe it's because of how certain people behave when they are building their businesses or they've finally succeeded, but we viewed entrepreneurship as this glamorous life, and nobody prepares you for that kind of expectations. Because one thing that I realized was I always kept saying that as an entrepreneur, you know, I'll be in control of my own time. Yes. I don't have to do 9 to 5.
Yes.
And then you realize when you get here, you're actually working 24/7, and there's no rest, you know. But then there people be like, you are available, you are free, you are your own boss. But then it also comes with these challenges, and you hear people throwing out statements like, no, but whenever you're running a business, so that means you have money. And I think entrepreneurs who are still building their businesses are the most broken people you'll ever meet.
This is true.
But to everyone who's listening right now, there's no money in this entrepreneurship. Ask Namali. Ask anyone.
Well, at least in the beginning. Don't discourage people now.
Yeah. I mean, true. As I said, those are still building their business. So once the building phase, a lot of sacrifices have to be made, because whatever money that you get, you need to reinvest that back into the business for it to run and grow. So,
yes, Leslie, I'm so happy you're saying that, because it's so easy to, when you do go into business full time and you're doing it and it's just not working or coming together, to think that you are the problem, right? And I love that is what you mentioned when you said these are things people don't prepare you for. And I think it's because, just thinking about what you were saying, it's because whenever we think about jobs or work, if you are employed, the idea is, somebody's controlling you. They're controlling your time. They're controlling how much you make. But on this side of business, you are free. You make all the money you want to make. There's no ceiling. There's no cap. And they don't make you they don't bring the realization to you. Before you can even get to the ceiling that doesn't exist, you have to put the bricks down. You have to lay the foundation. You have to put the walls up. And it's your money that you spend. In the beginning, it's your coffers that run dry. And so it's so easy to think that there must be something wrong with me. I'm not doing business well. Clearly, I'm not cut out for this, because people don't share the truth about, entrepreneurship as it is, yes, there's freedom, but that freedom comes at a cost. When you think about every country that's gained independence and freedom, it's come at a cost.
Yeah.
It's come at death,
absolutely.
Blood, sweat, tears. And it's similar in business as well. We have to sweat before we can start enjoying the luxuries that are presented by business.
Definitely. Sure. Definitely.
Now, please describe the anatomy of a typical day of yours. And I know it might not be a perfect picture, but just let us in on what it is you do on a typical day and tell us what part of your day secretly like gets you excited. What is a part of your day that you really look forward to the most?
Yeah, so the thing is, as a creative, as an entrepreneur, there's no really a set into the day. But so one thing that I do is I'm not a morning person, number one. Mm-hmm. So I don't take any meetings or anything before 11. I need to defrost.
Okay.
And also, I'm not sure if you heard of this, but creative people need time to do nothing, right? You just... part of the process, and my mornings are usually slow and I don't do anything because I always say this, most of the work that creatives do starts in the brain. Before I sit down on the computer, before I start the actual work, I would have come up with the ideas or the ideation stage while sitting doing nothing or just having coffee or just watching something. So that's usually the part of my day. Slow mornings, and then when I get to work, it's free flowing, you know. And then I always look forward to the evenings because I think you enjoy the evenings more when you've worked during the day.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a reward that, okay, today I really pushed, and then you just have to sit back and relax. It's like the Sabbath. You truly enjoy the Sabbath rest
when you worked in the 6 days.
When you didn't work the entire 6 days, even your Sabbath becomes slow.
This is true. Leslie, does your mind ever switch off?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Leslie, you are validating so much in me. But keep talking. I'll tell you after your response, yeah?
Yeah, no, I hardly switch off. I think my ideas, I get them 3 a.m. when I can't. Then I just think.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You are validating so much in me. I've always told people I love slow mornings. Don't bother me in the morning. And in all truth, I think the 90% of the work happens in the mind. Execution is like, it's like the 10%. Least, 100%, it's the least of what you do. And people are just like, you make it look so easy. And you're just like, yo, you don't know the iterations that went through my mind to get to this point. Yes, hey, am I a creative? Let's move on to the next question. Let's move on to the next question. You've probably designed brands that go on to outgrow even the founder's imagination. How do you let go and trust your work to live beyond your hands? Because I know as a creative, we get married to our ideas. We pray that people can execute them as well as we've seen them in our minds. So how do you find it possible to let go and trust that your work can actually live beyond your hands?
Yeah, I really love this question because it's literally one of my hardest areas.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as a designer or as a creative, you are your. They say you have to. Okay, any good designer that I know, you have to be your worst. You are your own worst critic, right? And it also applies to me where. I really am too harsh on myself sometimes where I can even sometimes call the client and say, you know what, we're starting this project all over again because I don't think it's quite there yet, you know, when it's approved and all. But yeah, so sometimes we marry so much our idea. It's hard to think otherwise. And when someone comes and says, no, I don't quite think this is it, it's usually hard enough to accept that. But you just have to trust your work, trust the work that you've put before. So there is a thing in the field that you are only as good as your last project.
Your last project.
When you look at the past project that you've done and that they've led you to this new project, it shows that it's a stamp of approval that what you've done before is worth it, and what you're doing now will also be worth it and lead to the next. So you just have to trust that whatever you're putting out there is good enough, and just let the present run with it.
Now, Leslie, what happens if you're not working alone, right? You're working in a team. And honestly, this is personally for me, because I've verified from this conversation that I am a creative. When you've thought about these brilliant ideas and you see how they can pan out, and then you have to soundboard with others in the team to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then they tell you, maybe not like that, maybe like this. Or have you considered, and you're just like, I have considered it, in fact. But because you are working in a team with other people who are as smart and also maybe creative as you, how do you balance bringing out something that wasn't entirely in your head but has contributions from other people?
Yeah, so before I actually started this agency, because Amatli Creatives is turning forward this year, but
yay!
before that, I was actually working in a team, like in a team setup, and I wasn't in that much control. And the reason why I left was because of that reason that you're mentioning.
You're not helping me.
Like, you know that everyone has agreed and the work is done, but in your heart, you're still not satisfied and all that. So I left, and then I started freelancing so that I can try to avoid that feeling. But I think if you're working in a team, then the goal, if the goal is there, is clearly outlined and is clearly communicated, then it becomes easier for everyone to contribute positively to that goal. So one thing that we have at Amatli is we have this creative briefs that we send out to clients, and they're as detailed as possible, so that when we are working on that project, we have to tick all the expected outcomes out of that brief, and the goal is clearly outlined. So when the goal is clear, then everyone else in the team can be able to say, no, but I think this isn't aligning with our goal or with the purpose of the brand. So if you are working in a team, then don't lose sight of the goal, the overall objective goal of the project. So I think that's what I can say.
Yeah, I love that. The truth is also, people who are creative sometimes wear that as their identity, right? It becomes your whole personality. And now I want to hear from you. How do you balance giving to your business and your craft and still having something left for your personal life and your relationships? Because in all honesty, the people who complain the most, except maybe for people who have family members in executive positions and corporates, but the people who complain about not being with their families or whose families complain about not spending time with them are those who are creatives, because they get so absorbed into what they're doing. They give their all into this thing. And also, a lot of creatives end up taking their own lives. They are depressed. So I want to hear from you. How can you help creatives out there balance really giving their work and their business everything they can, but also still having something left for themselves and their relationships?
Yeah, so I'm glad we've touched this, because entrepreneurship, especially as a creative, someone said it's a very lonely path. It's when you're building a business or when you're building a brand, it's a very lonely path. because quite a few people understand the position you are in. And over explaining yourself to people sometimes can also be a burden as well, and it can affect your mental health and all that. And I think I sometimes fall into that trap as well, because as a creative, we have this thing of strike while the iron is hot.
Yes, you want to take action now.
Exactly. So you wanna take action and you wanna be hot and say like, you know what, I've been overcome by this wave of creativity. Yeah. Let me take advantage. Which I'm locked in this week, like, and you are now working full day. You know, sometimes I can sit on my chair from 6 a.m. Till 9 p.m. And it's in the spirit of hustle, like I'm gonna grind hard. Let's put. But then, one thing that I've learned over the years is something can wait. That big project, and usually most of the times, even the clients themselves understand. If you say, "Hey, I think I'm gonna be finished with this project in 2-3 weeks," kind of like, "Oh, okay." Right. If you need an extension, it's also fine. But creatives want the badge to say, you know what, I'm really grinding. So some things can wait. You can just, tomorrow is another day. Next week is another week. You just take it easy and focus your attention on other things that matter to you the most. Spend time with your family, have dinner with the family, catch up, meet friends, you know. So,
I hear you, and this is such sage advice. But now I'm starting to think that creatives actually live on adrenaline. We are addicts. We really are addicts. And maybe that's why we want to just keep riding this wave and going and going and going, right? And somebody who's hearing you say this might think, but then what if I lose the steam? What if this thing that's taken over me in the moment just fades away? I can't get myself back into that flow again. When inspiration strikes, it strikes and it doesn't visit you twice. What do you have to say to that person?
Yeah. I recently heard something that was interesting. Someone said, focus on the tide and not the wave. Because you see at the sea there, the waves come, and when you're surfing, it's all nice and good, like the wave is high, but then it usually crashes down. But what stays constant over time is the tide back at sea. The tide, the flow of water is usually consistent. So I think I can say that is my answer to that, where just set up things and habits that are consistent over time. The waves may come, but if you know that you have some consistency and balance in your process, like in your project mapping, in your ideation, you have this balance, then you should be able, the waves will come, it's a good high, but then when the burnout crashes, or when the burnout comes, rather, you know that you have a consistent tide that's going to keep you afloat.
Oh, that is so brilliant. And I want to hear what your tide is, right? I think I figured out mine. Whenever I'm in the shower, all the ideas keep coming. And so this is great, because my tide is I'm going to have to take a shower every day. And I know that an idea is going to come. So at least I don't have to depend on that one moment of inspiration. Another one is listening to podcasts or watching a YouTube video. Literally, I can get into a YouTube video 30 seconds in, and the thing that the person is talking about, I'm not even listening to, because I've already got my inspiration. So what is your tide?
So my tide for me, I think I can say it's based heavily, so many things, but it largely comes from two main things. Number one is community, right? So community of like-minded people, community of other creatives, community of other people building brands. When you enter those rooms and have those conversations with those people, you also tend to get to realize that people are geniuses, and they have these really big ideas, and you can able to extract and hotspot from those conversations. So I make it a point that whatever community that I've built, whatever fellowships that I'm part of right now, I attend events and just get to, because you might, I do have friends, right? And you do have family, but these people do different things that may not be close within to what you do. But coming to community, it gives you a chance to also open up. And so hearing those people talk also inspires me. But another one, the second one, it's closely unrelated or maybe slightly related to my field, but it's nature and architecture, right? So whenever I go out and I just look, if you look at the insane engineering that goes behind certain buildings or certain structures, and also look at nature, how God engineered nature around us, and you also find human in that nature, and you think, ah, this man. So being outside and having that exposure usually kicks in the idea for me. I come back to my desk and fueled and pumped and have ideas that I want to work on.
I want to burst your bubble, but also tell you something that wouldn't be bursting your bubble. So you know how you just said, you know, when you look at architecture and engineering and niche, some people don't see it like that. So you are saying this poetic thing. It sounds like a song, like a sonnet. And some people are just like, oh, you mean grass. And you are looking at the blades. You're looking at all of that. But it makes sense because you are a builder. You are a brand builder. So it makes sense that you would find inspiration from things that have been built and draw principles from what has already been built, either by engineers or by God himself, the biggest architect and engineer that we, you know, the best we've ever had in history. So it's very interesting. And I think to tap onto the part of, on community, conversations for me on my other tide. So I was speaking to a guy here at work yesterday, and our conversation stretched so long. And he's like, Mpumi, this was meant to be a pep talk. Why did it last so long? You forget that we're just having a conversation. Are you not interviewing me? And I'm like, and it's not even that. I wasn't trying to interview you. It's because for me, conversations spark things in my mind and hopefully in your mind too that other things don't. So I concur on the on the community thing. Having those touch points is very, very important.
Sure.
We're running out of time and I've got so many questions for you, but I'll ask you this one because I think it's very important. If the Leslie of 10 years from now could whisper something to you today, what do you hope he would say?
I hope he would say it gets better. I think.
And why is that?
You know, the thing is sometimes you face so many challenges that you think, you know, I'm being buried here. But then over time, I get to look back at those challenges over time and think, ah, but we passed through that. So 10 years ago, I think I wish someone said, you know, it does get better over time.
Keep going.
Yeah, just have to keep at it.
And if it's not too personal, what is the one thing you are holding on to the hope that it gets better with time?
Yeah, so one thing that I'm holding on to is exactly that, where like we've seen what we've gone through before, right? You've seen the challenges that you overcame. You've seen, it's not even also about the challenges themselves, but it's also even the good achievements and the accolades and the accomplishments that you've done before. And those, I think, are enough evidence that surely there's something better promised ahead. Surely there's, it can't be, this can't be the ceiling of everything. Something that will come along in the future. So I think that's the only evidence that you can hold on to, where you look at the now, look at the history, and it's testament enough that the future we will be better.
Yeah. You know, you've just made me appreciate the intentionality behind how the Bible is presented to us, right? The fact that we know that it doesn't end here and it doesn't end like this, it gives us courage and the strength we need to live through each day, knowing that one day I will see that fist in the air or that fist-like size cloud in the air, and the trumpet will sound and the people I loved who I don't see anymore will be resurrected. It doesn't end here. And so I really appreciate that response because it highlights the value of hope. It's because hope is the thing that gives us steam, right? And that makes us continue, knowing that this thing you're doing now, it counts for something. It will count for something in the end.
Yeah.
Leslie.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you for not just teaching us about branding, because you told us about the colors and the fonts, but you also just reminded us that real legacy is built when vision meets intention. And I know that it's part of your tagline, the intentionality and all the vision that happens in your head. And I just want to say to every dreamer who's listening, you really don't need a big budget to start. All you need is a clear identity, a consistent message, and a commitment to show up, even when it's hard. Yeah. And Leslie didn't hide anything from us. It does get hard. And another thing that I want to highlight from what you said is that if you do all of these things that I've just said long enough, you won't find yourself just building a business, but you'll build a brand that is worth remembering and a life you will love.
Yeah.
So let's hang in there, my people. We're going to be okay. Leslie, this was so amazing. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Can I just say my parting word?
Yeah, and after you say your parting words, let people know where they can find you and how they can make use of your services.
All right. So I think one thing that I can say to the listeners is hold values tightly. So hold values tightly and ideas loosely, right? I think that's one thing you need to do when you're building a brand.
Say that again. So hold
your values. Hold your values tightly and ideas loosely.
Wow.
It's one thing that I live by, where the mission stays the same, but how you get there can be changed. So it's okay to tear down, start over, strategize, but the values that you have are consistent. And you hold them tightly. The idea on how you get there can be different as you grow.
Mm.
So, how you can find us, you can find us amatecreatives.co.za. You can email me at les@amatecreatives.co.za. We are on social media, and our handles everywhere is Amate Creatives. At Amate Creatives, no spacing, no full stop, no, just Amate Creatives. I'm more active on LinkedIn now, so we can connect on LinkedIn. Just search my name and it should come up.
Yo, Wenali, Leslie, that parting shot, I have a lump in my throat. Yo, we'll talk after. We'll talk after. That was so impactful.
Okay.
And I'm so glad that it was a parting shot, because it's given people something to think about. I appreciate your time.
You.
I value your wisdom. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers, Les. Speak soon.
Bye.
That's our show, you guys. We're done. We're done for today. It's over. And I hope you had a lovely time hearing about brand building. And I hope you weren't just thinking about brands in terms of shoes, clothes, and all of those things, but you thought about brand you. What are your fonts? What are your colors? What are your nuances that will make people say, "Ay, naganjani, Mpumi was here, Obongi was here." What are the things that, even if your name is not mentioned, they will just know, this has SBU written all over it. I hope that we can get to that, right? We can get to a place where our brands are so strong And those brands are driven by our values. And wherever we go, it can be said that this person was here. And I hope that the taste and the feeling and the emotion we leave people with is not something that is far from what God expects of us. Because at the end of the day, we are ambassadors of God's kingdom. And so if people don't find God at the end of an interaction with you, I don't know. But that's our show for today, everybody. I'll see you again tomorrow. I am Nompumelelo Lombonane, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.